In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The patriarch commemorated on this day is exemplary in his integrity. We rightly desire to be more like him, more of, more like in speech and deed, born of the faith, utterly true to the promises of God in Christ, despite every hardship. This son of Jacob was sequentially sold into slavery three times, first to the Midianites, then the Ishmaelites, and finally to Potiphar, the Egyptian. For Joseph, left dependent only on the word that had been given him, it was a decade of personal trials most severe, brought on by sibling-induced exile into a strange land, a people of grotesque paganism, in speech and culture, disgustingly at odds with the one true God. Joseph was alone, far from his family of believers, without pastoral counsel or sermon, and yet he endured. The devil failed. But again came the lying accuser, working still in yet another angle of idolatry, luring young man Joseph with immediate pleasures of lust and sexual immorality. It was all closing in on him. Potiphar's wife had arranged it just so, so convenient. Everyone was out of the house. Lie with me. Who will ever know? Joseph steadfastly, insistently confessed, God knows. And so this long-suffering servant of the Lord literally ran away from that opportunistic sin that would have otherwise ruined him. Joseph is patient and trusting in the Lord. God knows me. He is my Savior. Joseph believed in him who he did not see. By faith, Joseph expected to have Yahweh's grace and favor, which remained, for a time and for the most part, imperceptible, out of reach, so distant from home. Concordia Seminary in St. Louis is not so far from Joseph in Egypt. On this campus, with considerable preparation, future pastors and church workers are formed and prepared to enter and grow into a life of grace-filled, selfless service to the body of Christ. Here is proclaimed the gospel of God's Son, crucified for all, with profound eternal impact on the countless lives of others. This task is most properly carried out with no expectation or secret longing that the world would give you anything back for such difficult labor and sacrifice. The world could care less about your faithfulness, your integrity before God's word, or your attentiveness to your roles and responsibilities under divine call. If you think that the world would owe you some future prize for such extreme demands on your time, energies, and devotions, you need to set out right now toward another aspirational goal. What may at times appear to be adulation or honor and thanksgiving can quickly turn into rejection and anger and unjust judgment aimed directly at you. You will be persecuted. You will be severely trialed in such moments for the very virtues demanded by your office, in the very circumstances in which God has purposely placed you. There you will not suffer for shameful deeds, but for faithfulness, true and holy living. Though you may feel alone, and he may seem far off, God knows, and he remains only as distant as his holy word is from your life at any moment. The end of genuine preaching and teaching, the care of souls under your charge, will always and ever be a cross. Luther reckoned Joseph's imprisonment in like manner. Therefore, our life will have to be set up in such a way that we prepare ourselves for this outcome and these fruits of our labors. And if anything happens contrary to our hope, let us consider it all as gain. You will not change the world, but this is the way you must speak. I must keep at it, because I have taken up this office for God's sake, not for the sake of the ungrateful world. And again, Luther. If the greater part of the world curses, condemns, and slays us, we should know that this is our reward. And in this we should become like the Son of God and all the saints who, in return for the greatest services, experienced the utmost ingratitude of men. In a Lententide of penitential preparation, be you now conformed to such a pattern of humility. More of and more like fellow believers such as Joseph in speech and deed born of the faith. From the lesser Joseph to the greater Jesus, drawn even closer to your Savior. Behold how God delivers such greatness. While Joseph was successful in the eyes of others, the Son of Man was scorned and ridiculed by the cultural elite of his day. Jesus had no place to lay his head. While Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, Christ had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. While Joseph was cast into a prison for the sins of others, Jesus was hung on a cross for the sins of the entire world. While Joseph's obedience in the faith would eventually result in the reconciliation of his earthly family, Christ's atoning self-sacrifice means forgiveness of all sins, justification for fallen mankind, and the resurrection of all flesh from death unto life everlasting. When you despair of the most difficult circumstances, when with impatience you grumble and rebel against daunting challenges, abide only in the hope, the peace, and forgiveness which are located in the shed blood of Christ. Pray for his deliverance from all evil. God knows. Dwell where he has placed you now, knowing that you have already laid hold of a far better gifted life of salvation in among the gospel purely preached, even as the psalmist confesses, wait for the Lord. Be strong, let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.